morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is January 3rd, 2022. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Evolution of a Witch Prompt Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "It takes courage to grow and become who you really are," by E.E. Cummings. So, where have I been? Well, I'll talk about it. But we are drinking Midsummer Tea today. Midsummer Tea is a tea that is dragon fruit, which is a native fruit of South America. It is mouthwatering and refreshing. And it is a member of the cactus family. And this tropical fruit has an unparalleled essence that brews up into an exhilarating infusion. So this tea has apple, rose hips, hibiscus, lemon verbena, orange, dragon flute, pineapple, strawberries, marigold, and rose petals. So you're like, "Tanya, it's winter. Why midsummer?" Because I need a little bit of summer in my life. And maybe I'm not the only one. So we're talking midsummer. So we are going to talk about pineapple magical properties. And this comes to us from eloonblue.com. The Traveler's Fruit, Pineapple Magical Properties and Uses. So here are 14 ways you can use pineapple in magic. So pineapple's energy is associated with wealth, good fortune, and good luck. Dried pineapple makes for excellent sachets and incenses that can draw wealth to the home and encourage financial gain. Fresh pineapple can be baked into cakes and desserts and to gift to a friend and to bless them with good fortune. Pineapples are ruled by fire and the sun and carries the energies of strength and power, hence midsummer. Incorporated pineapples into charms for vigor and courage. Pineapples can increase spiritual power and personal magical energy, as well as strengthen psychic experience and intuition. Pineapples can increase confidence and the chance of success. When looking to make achieving a goal easier or a little bit of added self-assurance, consider using pineapple. Pineapple's energy can strengthen willpower and self-esteem. Pineapples are associated with youthfulness, immortality, and regeneration. It is said that pineapple juice can cool lustful thoughts. Use pineapple to welcome a friend back from travel, as it is an emblem of hospitality. Serve pineapple at celebrations to encourage happiness among guests. And finally, pineapples baked into desserts and then shared with a loved one can encourage devotion. And shared with friends can strengthen the bonds of companionship. So check out Midsummer Tea from sipaspell.com. I'm actually doing inventory today to make sure all the numbers on the website are correct. So yeah, check it out, Sipaspell. Going into some headlines. This is from dailywire.com. Written by Amanda Harding, Witchcraft for Kids, Hot Toy This Christmas is Magic Mix's Magical Misting Cauldron. So, okay. Someone in our podcast group, I don't remember who, posted a video about this toy. And it was a cauldron. And the children can, like, do spells and create this kind of, like, Furby-looking creature. And it's, like, their friend and they do magic with it. Super cute. They posted this a few months ago. Apparently, it was the hot item for the holidays this year, and apparently sold out. But quite a few members of our podcast group were able to get a few of them for the children in their lives. Super duper cute. So I'm just gonna read a little bit about from this article about what this is. But yeah, it's really cool. So they say the Magic Mixie's Magical Misting Cauldron is essentially a stuffed animal with a gimmick attached. Promotional copy encourages children to make your potion and to mix your potion and make your pet. This interactive toy comes with a plastic cauldron, quote-unquote magical ingredients, and a book of spells to help children create their stuffed animal from scratch. Can I just tell you, if this existed when I was like 7, oh my God. I don't think I would have gotten it though, because like we didn't have money like that, but I would have like watched the commercials over and over and over and over again. But yeah, it's pretty cool. If you like Google it and go to one of the stores that sell it, they have a video in the like photos section where you can like watch how it works, and it's really entertaining. It's like a long video, so definitely check it out. I'll have a link to this website. I don't think the website, I can't tell if the website likes it or not. I don't know. They might not. Okay, so let's talk about where I've been. So you may have noticed I disappeared for 2 weeks. Well, let me explain what happened. About 3 weeks ago, my mom sends me a text message. I won't get into the nitty-gritty details, but she sends me a text message and she's like, hey, your grandmother, and I'm going to preface, this isn't my real grandmother, but I'll get into that in a second. Your grandmother is in the hospital. She's doing okay and da 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 da. So just kind of like a little bit of an update. I said, okay, keep me updated. We talked about it. She seemed fine, just like normal kind of stuff you go to the hospital for when you're older stuff, you know? So I was like, okay, everything's cool. And then she messages me about 2.5 weeks ago. And then she says, hey, I just want to let you know she's taking a really sharp decline. I was originally planning on going home for Christmas on the 23rd to see everybody. So this was about a week earlier than that. And she's like, hey, I just want to let you know it's looking a little iffy. If you can, you may want to try to plan to come early. So I did. I spent the whole day like sending out the last few packages I had to send out for the holidays, cleaning my apartment, packing, letting everyone know I was leaving, making sure I had no obligations, da-da-da-da, the whole day. I got my oil change because it's a long drive, oil change and all that drive, all that jazz. So I do that, and then she calls me that night, my mom, and she says, oh, things are looking like kind of okay, like you may not have to come out early. And I was like, well, I'm packed and I'm already ready, so why not? I'll just come early. It'll just make me feel better. So I go, and well, I'm like an hour out. It's like a 9-hour drive. I'm like an hour out, and she calls me and says, hey, you need to come like straight to the hospital. So I go to the hospital and I saw my grandmother, and she was able to look at me. Like I could tell she looked at me, like she saw me, like her eyes saw me, and that made me feel good. Like she, like I just wanted her to know I made it, you know? So there was like maybe 3 or 4 days in the hospital we spent with her. And then that went on to hospice. So there was a few days in hospice, and then she passed. So then it was the whole funeral thing, and I've never really had to experience that before, because funerals are really weird and complicated, and it was a lot. So that's how I spent the last 2 weeks, so that's where I've been. But I did want to talk about, I did want to take this opportunity to talk about found family. A lot of people who listen to this podcast have some experience with found family, where your family, your biological family, maybe doesn't understand you or hear you or accept you or tolerate you or whatever, and for whatever reason, and you have to find a family who does love you, right? And this is kind of the situation that happened with me and my mother when I was really, really little. Basically, her family kind of turned their backs on us. And we didn't really have blood family. And if we did, it was just very conditional. And it was weird. But this woman, who I consider my grandmother, who we have no relation to, took us in and took care of us. And I lived with her for a really formative few years of my childhood, I think maybe from like ages 5 to 8 or something. And why I think she was really incredible, and I wrote a post about this, but children have no understanding of like the social relationships of who is more expected to tolerate their childness. Children don't know, well, this person's my aunt, so she has to tolerate me more than this person who's just my friend's, my mom's friend. Like, kids don't understand that. Kids are just unapologetically themselves, whether it's annoying or loud or crying or they don't care. Right. And as I've grown up and I've gotten older, it's dawned on me that this woman, who was under no obligation to take care of us or tolerate us or love us, just did. And when, like, as a child, I never felt indebted to her. And as I've gotten older, I've never felt indebted to her, because she never made us feel indebted to her. So, yeah. It's been really hard. It's been a really hard 2 weeks. But I feel very lucky and blessed that I was able to be there with her, not only early enough that she could like see me and recognize me, but at the end too. So that's where I've been. Thank you for listening to this. And I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, January 3rd. The waxing crescent moon continues to be in boss mode in Capricorn today. Here, the moon meets the Mercury, Venus, and Pluto conjunction. There are intense conversations being had with you and your loved ones. You may be bringing up past incursions with Venus still in retrograde. This might take your partner by surprise when you bring these things up, as it may be an old event that you both thought you were over. However, retrograde Venus will uncover the undigested bits of old relationship problems, and the conjunction with the moon will lay bare your feelings about these that have not yet been resolved. Try to harness the heavy Capricorn influence combined with the objective Mercury in Aquarius to use this conversation to move the ball forward on the relationship. It's important to resolve any feelings so that you're not faced with them again in the next retrograde cycle. However, doing so in a confrontational manner will get you nowhere. So make a plan, bring your A game, and be resolved to work it out with your loved one. Your daily moon mantra is, at the end of the day, you can either focus on what's tearing you apart or what's keeping you together. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Today's episode is brought to you by the journal Evolution of a Witch, 150 Journal Prompts for Witches by Tanya Brown. So Evolution of a Witch is a prompt journal made for witches by witches. These questions can be ones you answer quickly or reflect on later, or you can ponder them intensely with friends. Do you believe in good versus evil? What three items could be used to summon you? Who has been the most impactful person in your practice? These questions are meant to not only help you think about life from a new perspective, but your magic as well. Whether you want to write your responses and then move on, or use this journal as a jumping off point for future conversations, debates, classes, or even books, it's a judgment-free space for you to share your thoughts and ideas. A full-color journal with 150 prompts, you can take your time, integrate it into weekly journaling sessions, or use it as conversation starters with other magical people in your life. Find it now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. All right, so we are moving into our question of the day. This comes to us from listener Elise. Elise says, "Hi, Tanya. I don't know if you remember, but about a year ago, I wrote in about a spirit in my house that my husband said was a little girl. After I wrote in, I stopped seeing signs of her, but he never did. He just stopped telling me about it. A few weeks ago, I reconnected with an old friend of mine that is a medium and started doing readings. I decided to have her read us. It was a virtual reading, so we were in our house during the reading. She knew nothing about the ghost girl beforehand. During the reading, she and my husband agreed that the girl's appearance, agreed on this girl's appearance, and she was actually able to get her to cross over. She and him both agreed that she was a blonde girl in Victorian clothing and that she had a family of a mother, a father, and a brother that were waiting for her. She told my friend that she didn't want to leave my son because she enjoyed playing with him and that she was scared he was going to miss her. We also found out that my husband is very sensitive and his spirit guides want him to delve more into his gifts. He knew he was sensitive, but he just never talked about it and he blocks it out. In addition to this little girl, we have a multitude of spirits always in our home because of my husband. I have never had an experience with spirits or seen anything until I moved into his house about 5 years ago. So all of this makes sense to me, and so far nothing has been malicious. Do you recommend any type of literature or videos that can help him on opening up so that we can get these spirits crossed? He is very concerned that if he opens himself up, he won't be able to turn it off and something negative may try to cross into our space. I know you are sensitive to spirits. What do you do to protect yourself? Thank you so much, Elise." Hi, Elise. Okay. I do have a book recommendation. Let me pull it up. For me personally, I was very, very sensitive to spirits when I was a teenager. And I remember kind of like I flipped a switch and I just turned it off for years because I couldn't control it. I couldn't protect myself or block it or things like that. So when you're older, you just can. Like you're just more able to, at least in my experience. Hang on, I'm just pulling up this book. Okay, so the book I recommend, it's called Magical Mediumship by Danielle Dion. We actually had Danielle on our podcast. So I will link this book in the podcast description. It's written by Danielle Dion, and it looks like Christopher Pinzak did the foreword. So I'll link this for you. So I am just able to kind of keep myself protected. I think I just have a very natural guard up. And for me personally, and it sounds like him too, which this is actually really positive, it seems he's already has a guard up. He already has a wall up. Which is awesome. That's a great place to start because he can choose when to go into it and when not to go into it. Now, from what you said, he is able to see the spirits. So here is the thing I do. I don't know if I've shared this before. What I do to see spirits and talk to them and deal with them, which I don't do a lot. I'm just very strict about when I do these things and when I don't. For my own sanity and protection and all that jazz. I don't know. But let me explain to you what I do. So basically how I work is I'll sit into a meditative space. So I'll sit with my back against a wall and my feet or my legs on the ground. And I want to make sure my body is very, very comfortable because ideally you want to disassociate. That's not the right word. You want to not be distracted by your physical form while you're doing this. So I make sure I'm as comfortable as possible. No pains, no weird feelings. Make sure my butt doesn't feel weird, like on the floor or whatever. Get very, very comfortable. I'll close my eyes and I'll breathe in through my nose and out my mouth in a meditative breathing. And then I imagine myself standing in a dark room with a staircase. I climb up the stairs, up the stairs, up the stairs, up the stairs until I feel a little floaty. And at that point, I basically call out to the spirits and go, "Hey," and it depends on what I'm doing. If I'm trying to reach someone specific, I'll call out their name until they come to me. I've had friends who are dealing with spirits, so I'll use their name to be like, "What spirits are around this person? Please come towards me." And then they do, and I can see them and I can talk to them and get information from them. And then when I'm done, I thank them. I leave, I go down the stairs, and then I kind of wake myself up. So that's my whole process. Of course, there's little techniques and nuance with everything, but that's how I work. And it sounds like he already has some protection up, which is really good. And then, of course, you want to do some sort of protective measure. It sounds like the medium said he had spirit guides. I would go ahead and allow them to do their job and let them protect him. But of course, you're a witch. You know, there's all kinds of protective measures you can do. He can wear a talisman. There's a Ghost Hunter's talisman. I don't know how legit it is, but I enjoy it and I like to wear it when I do spirit work. You know, cleanse the space, cleanse him, all that jazz. So I hope that's helpful. Yeah, so like I said, the book is Magical Mediumship with Daniel Dion, and I will put a link for you in the description. All right, which is, how are we on time? Because I know I went on, we're not great on time. So, okay, real quick, I guess, I'm trying to like be mindful. Something I wanted to implement into our episodes. So sometimes we have people who write in a lot, and sometimes we have people who don't write in a lot. And we kind of need the write-ins, right? To like do the podcast. So right now it's a slow write-in time, which makes sense. I haven't been on. It's been the holidays. People are busy. So as a way to kind of keep giving you guys stuff to think about and talk about, I wanted to use my new book, Evolution of a Witch, 150 Journal Prompts, to kind of help us spark discussion. So I made this prompt journal for a number of reasons. One, for people who like to journal, right? It's a prompt. So it asks a question and you think about it and you journal about it. But these prompts are also meant to help with authors who write books, people who teach classes, and I want to use it in this podcast as a discussion prompt. So the first one's really easy, so we'll do it today when we don't have a lot of time. And our first prompt is, using your intuition, how do you predict your life is going to change this year? So I would love for all of you to think about that today. Using your intuition, how do you think your life is going to change this year? I'm going to be honest with you. My brain is so cloudy that I don't know. I don't know. I have some ideas and I have things I hope I do. I would love to take more time for my mental health in terms of rest and relaxation. I tend to get very anxious and I think I get a little manic sometimes, and then I'll make some decisions that maybe aren't great. So I'm going to take more time for my mental health. And here's the thing that we need to do when we make these kind of goals for ourselves is to make measurable goals. So saying I want to take more time for my mental health is not an actual goal. Right? I can't measure that. But what I can measure is I can go, hey, I would really like to go into nature for every quarter for at least 3 days. Right? I can actually do that and measure it and check it off a list. So I'm hoping that this year I work a little bit more on my work-life balance. I would like to become a little bit more financially stable. So get into a situation where I can start saving and take care of myself for the future. And as of right now, that is all I'm really hoping for myself within the next year. Become more financially stable and to take a little bit more time in nature for my spirit and my mental health so I can be the best version of myself for all the people I work with. And yeah. That is how I hope my life changes this year. So actually, I'm going to post this in the Facebook group. I want to hear your answers. Okay? So we are wrapping up this episode of The Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to Kiki, my darling Kiki, who is also struggling right now. Kiki, I love you. You sparkling, beautiful fire dragon. I also want to give a shout out to listener Breck Gonzalez. Breck, you esoteric badass leprechaun. And then finally, Sherry. Sherry, you hospitable, sweet fey queen. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. Now, before we leave, we do have a card pull. Our card today is Coral from the Cosmic Creatures deck. Coral is all about detachment, mastery, and potency. Nice and steady, the coral emphasizes the importance of a strong and sturdy foundation for whatever you choose to build. Coral resides underwater, and with every shift in current, coral holds strong because it is extremely grounded on the ocean floor, no matter what emotions swirl around you. Stay rooted to the core of your being, and you will be able to withstand any storms ahead. It's easy to get swept up by the drama of others and even your own emotions, but coral reminds you that your emotions are not your identity, and to detach yourself from them when you feel yourself getting carried away. Emotions come and go, but you are here to stay. This awareness builds trust within yourself, and others can rely on you to offer an objective and diplomatic view, influenced by the data. Coral promotes peace and mastery, becoming still in the face of chaos. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.